Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, welcome back. Beamer in for Bowerly here on News Radio 930 WBEN. We are talking primaries. Bill and Nick, you guys are first in line. I just wanted to comment on something before we get back to this. So last week, Brian and I did a show on the rudeness of customers. You know, you go to a store and there's always someone that is just giving employees a hard time. And I understand how frustrating it can be right now. I mean, you look anywhere, just drive down any street and see the now hiring signs. Obviously, a lot of places are working short-staffed. Well, for lunch today, because, you know, I'm at this point now where I get a good workout in, and then I feel, oh, well, I can eat something like I can have a sub. So went and got a sub, and I was waiting in line. And I don't know what happened before I walked in after these people had already placed their order, but I'm guessing it was the time that it took to get their order out. And when the lady behind the counter handed the guy his sub, she said, sorry for the wait, just very nice about it. And he said, don't worry, it's not a problem. We'll never be here again. Like, really? Is that necessary? Because it took a little longer than usual. I mean, you're getting a sub. They're short-staffed. Everyone's working short-staffed right now. Was that attitude, was that necessary? Do you think they purposely looked at your order and said, we are going to take forever to get this person's food out? No. Everyone's food was taking a little longer. Go anywhere. These people are working their you-know-what off. Give them the benefit of the doubt, at least. Hey, I understand having a bad day, and just no matter what, you're frustrated at the world. And maybe it's because I worked in food service, I worked in retail, and I'm guessing most of the people listening to my voice right now have at some point in their life worked food service or retail. I'm just guessing. I don't understand this need to bring I understand you're frustrated. You can communicate a manager. You can send on the feedback on the website. Believe me, I've seen some of the feedback on me on the website. But I don't understand this need to raise your voice or to make a scene, especially in this situation where you got your food. If it was anything as good as my sub, I'm sure it was delicious. It just took a little longer. You know, mine was about 5 or 10 minutes late. Okay, that's fine. I understand. I didn't order it last minute. I don't get this need to. Now I can understand if you ordered a chicken sandwich and they gave you a bacon double cheeseburger. Okay, I still wouldn't be that nasty about it. I'd probably say, hey, by the way, this looks good, so I'm just going to have it. But I ordered the chicken sandwich just for next time. But, you know, when I worked retail, I saw this all the time. And it's, and you know, when someone is walking in and they're just looking for something. Some of us may work with people like that who, you know, they're just looking for something to complain about. And it's like, oh. Or if it's a returning customer and there's something that's always wrong, every product they buy, there's always something they have to return it for. You know, oh, another blender wasn't, you know. So, I don't know. That just really upset me on my way into work, and I thought I'd share it. I just didn't understand the attitude. Oh, we're not coming back. A, do you think she cares if you're coming back or not? And again, B, do you think they purposely made your sub? Can you see the line behind you? They're having a tough lunch break, okay? They're understaffed. No one else was complaining about the weight of their sub. But you, and here's another thing. Maybe I just get too embarrassed. You know, I talk a lot on a microphone. Believe me, you see me out in public. I'm not as outgoing at first with people I don't know. That's just how I am. But I couldn't imagine with a crowd of people behind you just to have that attitude. Well, don't worry, we're not coming back. Yeah, what was he expecting? Everyone to start clapping? I don't get that mindset. It to me makes no sense. And especially now, you've got the short staff, you've got businesses recovering from being forced to lock down. Give people a break. I mean, really, just give them a break. 803-0930, we are talking about the primaries. Bill in Eden has held on long enough. Bill, the floor is yours.
Hey, Joe. Yeah, I've been a registered Republican since the 1980s. And I think primaries are good opportunities to vote for candidates that you want to vote for, especially if they might not be the ones that the party people put up. So I've known about, for instance, with the sheriff's race. I also respect Frank Panasik and the 1791 Society. So even since December of 2020, mid-December, I knew about John Garcia and things that I like about him, and he's the person for whom I voted. For instance, they asked Sheriff Howard who he wanted to replace him as sheriff, and without hesitation, he said John Garcia. So I looked a little bit about this guy.
Well, Bill, can I just ask you, was it something about the sheriff's race that made you want to go out to the primary this year, or do you vote in the primary no matter what year it is?
I tend to vote regardless of what year it is, but also with this particular primary, it was something that kind of interested me.
Okay, so you made sure you went out. Now, what number were you when you went and voted?
Number 13, lucky 13.
Lucky 13.
It was quite an interesting, I was actually the first one that day because I was in the early voting.
Okay.
Earlier in the week, which on its own, I won't say which one I went to. I went to a nearby place, and I brought my card that you can scan in, and it printed out the ballot, or, it signed up the right thing, so I filled it out. But before that happened, actually, they had an issue with the printer. So they had to actually, what do they call it? They had to spoil my ballot one time because iPad or whatever it was didn't send it to the printer. They tried it again. Again, it didn't send it to the printer. So they had to spoil it twice, and I had to go to a different, iPad and do the registration on there. And then it was able to print it, and then I filled it out. And I scanned it, and it said it took the ballot, but then it got stuck in there, so... They said it's okay, it counted, but it stuck, but we'll have to take care of it. So that was kind of an interesting thing all by itself.
All right, Bill, thank you for the call, man. That's Bill in Eden. Always good to hear from Bill. Nick in Hamburg. Nick, thanks for hanging on.
Hi, Joe. I want to agree with you that customer pulled a total Richard move and it was unnecessary.
Exactly, man. I think you got to give everyone the benefit of the doubt these days, you know, at least for the next few months.
Sure, and you're absolutely right. I don't believe that it ruined their day hearing that they may not ever return there to eat again, but I digress. The reason I'm calling is because you mentioned something about our last election cycle, the presidential election.
Yes.
And also the previous one, you said there were doubts as to the legitimacy of the results, which is obvious, and we did go through 4 years of wasteful spending and allegations of what they call it, collusion.
Adam Schiff apparently still has proof. He just, I guess, didn't want to bring it to the hearings.
Absolutely. I guess that's still a case that's being built up. But currently, I don't know if most people are aware there is a complete forensic audit going on in Arizona. And you mentioned that you are satisfied with the resident of the White House right now. I want to ask you if there is indisputable, undeniable proof of election interference that comes out after this forensic audit is complete. Are you still going to maintain that position?
Nick, as I said in January, and I will stand by this, I am a man of my word. If I am proven wrong, if evidence comes out that there was so much voter tampering that it changed a state, I will dedicate a four-hour show to people to call in and make fun of me.
I look forward to that show.
No, but I said that in January, and I stand by it, because I do not like the way you worded it. I am not satisfied with the current administration, but from what I've seen to this point, I don't believe there's enough votes that would have overturned the outcome. However, I am willing to hear anything. I'm willing to read anything. And like I said, if I am proven wrong, Nick, I am a man of my word. I will sign on for whoever show I'm filling in for, and I will dedicate the 4 hours to people calling in and with the I told you so's and making fun of me.
And it's not about making fun of you or, you know, proving you wrong or anything like that. It's about, and I'm going to paraphrase a bit, but, you know, one of our founders mentioned that the only thing for evil to prevail is for good men to stand by and do nothing. Well, there are good men and women that are doing that audit, and the things that are going to turn up are going to shock people, and the results will be jaw-dropping. I don't know if you've watched Mike Lindell's pieces that he put together with video proof of the digital forensic tampering, but that alone is staggering. Have you seen the Mike Lindell, My Pillow guy?
You know, I haven't, Nick, but I will promise you this. I will dedicate some time to look at everything that is out there. It's just, I've been a little busy, which is an awful excuse, but I do promise that I will take a look at that video. I know the video you speak of.
Yeah, there's three now, so, and they're all just chock full of absolute proof, and that's, in fact, is the name of one of them. Well, appreciate you having me on the show today.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks. That's Nick in Hamburg. Like I said, I'm always open to reading, to listening, to any claim, okay? And there is not anyone I know more that wishes the 2020 election had gone a different way. But from what I've seen to this point, I don't think that there are enough wrongfully cast votes, if you want to say, that would have changed the outcome. I wish there were. But one of the reasons we're still talking about this is because people do not have trust in the election process. And it is so easy to at least lessen that distrust. There are things that we can do. There are things that we should be able to agree on, no matter our party affiliation, that we can do. But people want to vote in a poll, and it's all fine. 80% say, yeah, we should have voter ID. But when you're in front of the camera, when you're a member of Congress, and you're asked, do you agree with President Donald Trump, or do you agree with insert Republican here that we need voter ID? You have a lot of people on one side of the aisle that'll say, no, that shouldn't happen. No, we can't do that. Because they don't want to say, yes, I agree with my Republican colleague. And you know what? It goes the other way too. I think early voting to an extent is fine. Why? Because I think early voting lessens the need for mail-in voting. And mail-in voting should be a bare minimum. It should be people that cannot get to the ballot. It should not be people who can go to the ballot, but I don't feel like going. That should not be those who do mail-in voting. So if we're going to have early voting, it should lessen the demand by a lot for mail-in voting. And that's why I support early voting. And as you can tell, I have changed my tune on this. I was not a fan of early voting 2 years ago. But I think if it can lessen the need for mail-in voting, I am all for some sort of early voting. But you see, if you're watching a program and someone from the right is asked, a Republican congressperson, hey, do you agree with Democrat congressperson? they're probably going to say, no, I can't agree with that. And in my opinion, there are two things that I think, if we're just honest and we just look at the distrust, we can say, you know what? We should allow early voting and we should require voter ID for federal elections at the very least. And that's how I feel when it comes to any type of voting. We all have our IDs on us. And you have so many people that still question the election. But instead, it's, you've got members of the media. Again, this goes back to me watching CNN. People saying, you know, criticizing those who have questions to ask. Criticizing the, that's all we've had for the last 15 months. Criticizing those who question the election and criticizing those who question the vaccine, criticizing those who question anything Andrew Cuomo did. They're nothing but criticized. But when it comes to the election, at least we can do something about that. We can regain just a little trust. 8030930. I also want to talk about this. This is going on in New York City, so I know not completely local. That's why I brought it up at the end of the primary segment. But ranked choice voting in New York City is going on today. And I know a lot of people are going to disagree with me. I actually like this. I like this idea. This is from the Associated Press. Ranked choice voting made its debut in New York City's mayoral primary Tuesday in one of the most high-profile tests yet for a system gaining use in pockets across the U.S. The system is based on a simple premise. Democracy works better if people aren't forced to make an all-or-nothing choice with their vote. Rather than pick just one candidate, voters get to rank several in order of preference. Even if a voter's top choice doesn't have enough support to win, their rankings of other candidates still play a role in determining the victor. But the system is more complex than a traditional election, making it tough to forecast a winner. It could take longer to get results. Well, we had to wait, what, 2 weeks to get the presidential results? In New York City's version, voters get to rank up to five candidates from first to last on their ballot. If one candidate is the first choice of the majority of voters, more than 50%, that person wins the race outright, just like a traditional election. If nobody hits that threshold, and it's expected no one will, ranked choice analysis kicks in. So, say the person you put number one clearly doesn't have the votes, okay? Didn't win. They will go now to vote number two. So your vote, so say your top candidate didn't win, but you kind of like this person, then you at least can have a vote count for them if your first choice is not going to win the election. I like ranked choice. I'm not going to lie. At first, I looked at this and said, this is the most ridiculous thing I ever heard of. But as I read more about it, I could definitely get behind this when it comes to more local and state elections. If you have an opinion on ranked choice, I'd like to hear that as well. But we're talking primaries. We're talking voter reform, adding voter ID, early voting. What do you think of all this? Especially, what do you think of making elections, I'm sorry, restoring trust in elections? I think it's something we need to do. And I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat. I'm sure you can point to an election that you feel you didn't trust the outcome 100%. Now, maybe a lot of that is based on who won the election, or you think there were serious flaws in the way the votes were cast. I'd like to know what you think.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's nobody's fault. Welcome back. Joe Beamer in for Tom Bowerly here on News Radio 930 WBEN, talking primary day, also talking about reforms you'd like to see when it comes to voting. We've had a few texts already about people who brought their ID. Hey, this is me, just want to show you. No, sign the piece of paper. Now, that's a good form of confirmation. Let me just re-sign my name right above the signature you already have of my name. That seems like a secure system you have there. Also talked about ranked choice voting. That's what's going on in New York City today as they have their mayoral primary. And let me tell you, a lot of money has been pumped into that New York City mayoral race. Every commercial break during Mets games is for someone running for mayor. And I actually thought one was a parody because this just tells you my... my way of thinking. It says, so-and-so is backed by AOC, Bernie Sanders, and the New York Times. And I looked at that and go, oh, they mean that in a positive way. Like, those are reasons to vote for this person because they're backed by AOC, Bernie Sanders, and the New York Times. Let me tell you, if I was in the ranked choice voting, that candidate would not be one of my top five. Just want to make that clear. Also, someone said they just got from the polls today, and them and their husband were voters 4 and 5, and that is at 3 o'clock on primary day. So, obviously, people aren't driving to the polls. The county executive tweeted out last hour, 20% of registered Republicans and Democrats. So, you registered big party voters, only 20% will show up to the primaries, maybe. I mean, 20%, I think, is the high end of that. So asking, why does it lack that enthusiasm, right? Because you need a little enthusiasm. You know, I think back to 2016. That's before I was working here. I mean, I was working here part-time, but I was working retail full-time. And I was supposed to be at work at 7. I went in at 6 a.m. to cast my vote. I was so excited to vote in the 2016 election. Now, that was obviously a general election. We are talking primaries today. But it seems like these local primaries lack that enthusiasm to get people to the polls, even though you look at news cycles here in Buffalo for at least the last week, I'd say 2 weeks, every newscast has mentioned the sheriff's race or the Buffalo mayoral race. You know, last week, right before early voting started, you had accusations between the two Republican sheriff candidates that were discussed on Hardline. You can hear that on demand at WBEN.com. And then for the last week, you've heard a lot about the Buffalo mayoral primary. So it's getting the attention. It's getting the coverage. But why is it that most people listening to my voice aren't going to go vote? And would something like a ranked choice where there's a better chance of your voice being heard, would this increase your chances of going to vote in a primary. I think for me, it would. I know a lot of people are against it still. It's new. But if you told me that ranked choice was how we were going to do our primary, I might go ahead and I might have a better chance of going to the polls than it not for a primary. Before we move on, I have two texts sitting here. Joe, could you please repeat the 3 o'clock word? All right. Because you asked so nicely. When you use please and thank you in a text, all right. The 3 o'clock summer stimulus word is theme, T-H-E-M-E, as in theme song. Text theme to 72881 for your chance at $1,000. You got about 19 minutes until another WBEN summer stimulus. All right, so the primary is being talked about in the news. Guess what else is being talked in the news? Oh, and this is, you know, this is something that Brian and I disagree on. We did a show on this a few days ago. By the way, I see text coming in. If you do have a comment on the last topic, we'll still take that at 803-930. But we're moving on to another topic. We like to flow through topics here. But stadium talk. And Brian and I disagree on this. And I'd like to know what you think. You know, yesterday, the county executive talked about $123 million in renewing Erie County. That's what we're renewing Erie County, guys. But one of the things that he didn't mention, but has been talked about, is this idea of a new Bill Stadium. And this is kind of like the Skyway in Buffalo. If we're not talking about the Skyway for the last 20 years, we've been talking about this mythical new Bill Stadium. Now, I am going to, right here, as someone who has traveled to many sports stadiums, college, some NFL stadiums, MLB stadiums, yes, is the Bill Stadium outdated? Is it old? Yes. But it's our old, outdated stadium. And there is something about Highmark Stadium that cannot be replaced, that can't be replicated. The new stadium will not have the feeling of Highmark Stadium. And here's the thing. You know, people try to run from we are Buffalo, right? People try to, hey, we should be more like Pittsburgh. We should be more like New York City. We should be more like this. Like, and they point to all these cities. I'm guilty of doing that. Me, I'm guilty of having done that. But when it comes to certain things, it's nice to have that Buffalo feeling about it. And if you build a FedEx Field, it won't be a MetLife Stadium, but if you build something like a MetLife Stadium or a FedEx Field, you know, just these big, lifeless stadiums, it's not going to have the same feel as Highmark Stadium. And I understand. The NFL wants Buffalo to have a new stadium. All right? There's a lot of people listening to my voice that wants this beautiful stadium with a roof over it, on the water, downtown. But do you really want that? I'm being honest with you. Do you really, is that what you want? A stadium on the water? Now, do I think that would be beautiful? That would be great for downtown? Yes. I'm going to tell you right now, June 22nd, 2021, that will never happen. I would also say there's about an 80% chance there's never going to be a new stadium downtown. And I would also say if you just ask yourself, if you are just real with yourself, you don't want a stadium downtown. For years, I was the guy, Buffalo needs to be more like Pittsburgh, and we need a stadium on the water. We need a stadium downtown. But then you know what? I thought about that, and I thought about having a stadium downtown. And first thing I thought of is we can barely get people out of the arena. We've had that discussion. We're not going to revisit that. But you know what you can't do downtown? A lot of the stuff you do in Orchard Park. Orchard Park, if you like it or not, Orchard Park is the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills belong to Orchard Park more than anywhere else in Western New York. And you know what? That's fine. Going to a Bills game, even when they're good, is more of an experience than just the game. Do you really want to redefine your game day experience? If you put a stadium downtown, you're not going to be able to tailgate like you do in Orchard Park. Now, I know there are people listening to my voice right now who will say, well, Joe, we don't need that. We don't need people jumping through tables. We don't need that tailgate experience. Well, I'm sorry, but that tailgate experience, that is the Buffalo Bills, okay? That is half of a Buffalo Bills experience. The tailgating. People getting there at 7 in the morning, setting up these tailgates that they've been having for decades. You know, later in the winter, building a fire in an oil can. That's a Bills game. Getting bundled up to go to a game. I'm sorry. I don't want this stadium with a roof. I want an open-air stadium. We talk about all this having pride, and I'm from Buffalo, and I can walk in the, you know, remember a few years ago when Boston was getting all that snow and that guy was walking in just his suit and everyone had a post on social media, hey, did you see the guy from Buffalo in Boston? He was just wearing a suit. We take pride in, hey, we can sit out in the games, but the first thing people want to talk about when a new stadium is, oh, we got to put a roof on it. Do we? You know, no offense to Syracuse, but going to a Syracuse football game is nothing like going to a Bills game. I mean, except in the early 2010s, they were both brutal. But going to a Syracuse game, you're inside. Oh, I'm in my short sleeve shirt. Or I just wore my jersey. Okay, that might sound nice, but think of your Bills experiences. Think of that game that you always point to. I would argue part of that experience, you know, I look back at the Colts game a few years ago. Now, number one, that win helped propel the Bills into the playoffs. But number two, the field was covered in snow. I was covered in snow. It was miserably cold. But that's a Bills game. And I know Brian disagreed with me when I said this, but the cold factor, the snow, more times than not will play in the Bills' favor. So I just said a bunch of nothing, I understand. So when we're talking about a new Bill stadium, what's the thing you need out of a new stadium? And yes, we're going to go here. Who should pay for that new stadium? Should it be all the Bills? Should it be all the county? And I guess the first part of the first question would be, where should the stadium be? Because I'm going to say this. The stadium belongs in Orchard Park. Do I think it would be awesome for a downtown stadium when you're talking about visually driving into downtown, seeing that stadium? That would be awesome. But I don't think you'd get the experience you have in Orchard Park. And you don't have the infrastructure. And why would the Bills start planning a stadium for downtown Buffalo when they haven't even they have no proposal on improving the infrastructure to allow a stadium, to allow that number of people driving in and out of that area of the city? It right now, if the Bills want a new stadium by 2026, it is impossible to put one downtown. And again, I'm not the most intelligent person, but if you look at the infrastructure of downtown, just look at that alone. A stadium downtown doesn't make sense, and it can't happen. 803-0930, star 930. That is the number, but it is 350. It is time to get a check of traffic. Here's Alan Harris.
Well, actually, it's not looking too bad on the main line of the thruway. Everything else is moving along pretty much across the 290 getting in downtown. Really not seeing too many problems at the moment. What we do have is this problem I talked about last time, 100 James Casey Drive. We've got hazmat out there, and they actually just called for some extra equipment to the scene. So you want to stay away from James Casey Drive for a while the Buffalo Fire Department is out there dealing with this problem. From WBN's Barnesville Traffic Command, injured, call 1-800-8-MILLION. I'm Alan Harris.
Is Alan in a helicopter? The WBEN Extragen first alert forecast this afternoon, partly cloudy, 65. Tonight, mainly clear, 50. Tomorrow, partly sunny and warmer, 73. And Thursday, mostly sunny, 86. Right now, 63 and some clouds outside our Amherst studios. This segment brought to you by Leon Com and Son Monument Company. Distinguish, preserve, and honor. It's Joe Beamer in for Tom Bowerly, 803-0930. Is the number, and we're talking about the Bill Stadium. I have a lot of thoughts on this because I can see everyone's opinion. I love the current stadium. Yes, it's old. It doesn't fit in with the other NFL stadiums. Well, good. We're Buffalo. We don't fit in with the other NFL cities. We've got a fan base that would match almost any college fan base out there. You don't get that in other NFL markets. We have a fan base that's stuck with this team through some of the most brutal seasons. They've gone there at games that were -2 degrees. So we're not other NFL stadiums. We're not other NFL markets. And that's, I think, something to be proud of. Everyone wants to run away from being a small market team. No, let's embrace it. We are a small market team. And guess what? We play in an old stadium. And when that stadium gets loud, it's one of the loudest stadiums in the country. I'm usually build. Let's get newer. I am usually that guy. But when it comes to Highmark Stadium, there is something about that stadium that will never be matched. And I say you embrace that more than anything. But if we're talking about a new stadium, I think it belongs in Orchard Park. Now, someone said, Joe, you should do some research. Yeah, thanks. Joe, you should do some research. I should probably have the text ready. Go back and do research on how quickly Jimmy Griffin was actually able to get the baseball stadium in. See, this thing just throws text all around. I have nothing against the baseball stadium, but let's be honest here. The baseball stadium seats 18,000. A football stadium would seat around 68,000 to 70,000. So the infrastructure barely can get 17,000 out of the arena. I'm just saying, let's be realistic here, okay? There will not be a new stadium in downtown Buffalo. The new stadium will most likely be in Orchard Park. Looking at a new stadium, what do you think that stadium needs, and who should fund it? 803-0930, star 930, Mark in Buffalo. Mark, good afternoon.
Joe, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well, Mark. What do you think about a new stadium?
All right, first of all, I don't think we need one. I think our stadium is the most beautiful stadium I've ever seen in my life. It's big. If they got another one, it would be smaller. It's in the right spot. It's exactly in the right spot. You want to talk about downtown. Joe, I don't know, were you here 10 years ago?
I was, yeah.
All right. Do you remember that night in the summer we had something going on at the arena, and we had a little bison game, and something else with that Riverworks thing. They took, my friends, where it took 3.5 hours to even get through downtown, okay? And as far as I'm concerned, they don't need one. You're right. There was something about that stadium. And when they moved from the odd to the new one, I don't even go to watch games there anymore. It's just not the same. It's huge. It doesn't have that feeling. And I totally agree with you on everything. Totally. And I don't think we need another. It's beautiful.
You know, and
it's in Orchard Park.
Mark, you look at the arena, and I love going to Sabre games. I love the Sabres, no matter how bad they are. But that arena is a lot like the ones built in the 90s, and you said it perfectly. It's lifeless. You know, the Odd had character, and it seems like everything they built in the 80s and 90s when it comes to arenas just had no identification to it. It was just, here's a building we play sports in.
Absolutely.
All right, Mark, I appreciate the call. That's Mark in Buffalo. And there was another one downtown. There was a country music event at the ballpark and a concert at the arena. This was a few years ago. And it was, I believe we went out for drinks for like a few hours after before getting any kind of transportation home because downtown was packed. You had both of those events come out at the same time. And downtown just can't handle that. It can't handle that traffic. And there are no... Right now, we're still debating if we should put a boulevard to replace the Skyway. You know, if the Bills are serious about building a new stadium, they want to build it now. They don't want Erie County and the state and the city to debate about what, how to improve the infrastructure and where to build what. All right, you observe the Skyway mess, and we're still debating how to replace something we haven't torn down yet. They don't want to get involved in that. If they want a new stadium, the only place that makes sense is across the street in Orchard Park. I want to know from you, 803-0930. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We're getting right to calls after news on WBEN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.